Chapman, glad I didn't run you off. This is going to be a KISS message. How many of y'all know what a KISS message is? That's keep it short, stupid, or keep it short, sweetie. You take your choice, all right? But I know that you're honoring your pastor and his wife tonight, and so I think that I have found that God has given me what he wants me to share with you. I would like to say that, you know, the Boones, we've known them almost since they came to the Valley. And they're country people. I mean, they're country way back. They finally got out of Virginia Beach and came to God's country. Amen. And Sherry just got tired of putting up them artificial trees. She said, honey, I want us to go out in the woods and I want us to get a real tree. And Pastor Boone said, okay. He said, but West Virginia's got the best trees. So they went to West Virginia. All day long, Sherry took him up one hill, down another, through one hollow, up over another one. Finally, the sun is setting. Pastor Boone sits down on a log, and in exasperation, he says, honey, the next tree we see, we're cutting it down, whether it's got lights on it or not. Yeah. You'll get that after you get home. Ooh. But I appreciate he was sick and called, and B.R. Lakin used to say, I had the privilege of hearing him quite a few times, always be prepared. So I don't sit around and wait for a preacher to call me and look for a message. I start preparing and getting messages ready. You seem to have accepted well this morning the blood sacrifice and how God deals with that in our lives. Tonight I want you to go to Psalms 26. We're going to read verse 8 and then Psalms 27, verse 4. Psalms 26, verse 8. I know the pastor and his wife's tired after a long drive. I'm getting a little bit older. I'm getting where I don't like to drive too far. But let me remind you while you're going to Psalms 26. I think I said this morning, I might have forgot. But we're having revival at Clearbrook with the Tab family. If you like good Southern gospel music, this man, his wife, and four daughters and son sing. My wife said, next to you, honey, he's the best I ever heard. Sorry, pastor, but he's the best that... He's quite good. So it starts at 7, Monday through Wednesday. Of course, they're doing it today as well. So I've never heard him, but he comes highly recommended. So if you're in the Roanoke Valley, 7 o'clock, Clearbrook Baptist, we'd be glad to see you there. If you don't mind standing as we read the opening of the scripture, if you're able, Psalms 26 and verse 8, the Bible says, Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thy honor dwelleth. And if you look at chapter 27 and verse 4, David said, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. Father, we thank you tonight, Lord, for Valley. We know, Lord, that it is you that has kept it together all these years. We thank you, Lord, for a faithful pastor and his wife and family, Lord, that serve you faithfully. And Lord, you already know it gets discouraging at times to try to get your people in to hear the word that you've given us. And sometimes, Lord, we're disappointed when we go home because we know that there should have been people here to hear. So I pray you'll encourage our hearts, encourage the pastor, help his people, Lord, to show their appreciation to him and Sherry, Lord, for the many years that they've served you at this place. We pray, God, that you will honor your word. Honor your name, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you can be seated. I want to share with you just a few minutes the message entitled, The Love of God's House. My question is, why is there so little interest in the house of the Lord? Why do believers seem to be able, and folks say I harp on it, and I'm just going to keep harping until I get to heaven, why there's so little interest in the house of God, especially in the evening services, minus those who are unable to drive at night or on medication, that type of thing. The average member can come. I talked to an independent Baptist preacher probably about 6 weeks ago. And if I mention his name, you know who I'm talking about. But was very discouraged, and I tried to encourage him, tried to encourage his wife. And he said, Pastor, I'm really thinking about stopping Wednesday night. On Wednesday night, on Sunday morning, they have about 160. On Wednesday night, they have about 12. And I said, brother, don't do that. I don't think your pastor should ever cancel a service because one day you're going to stand before God and you're going to say, Lord, I would have went, but he canceled the service. But that's the times and the ages we live in. And I'm convinced of this. people who say they love the house of God really don't love the house of God. Somebody give me an amen on that. They really don't. Because the Sunday school teacher this morning, I want to call him Brother Brian, but that ain't it. Oh, I got it right. Oh, thought I was going to have a senior moment there. Asking about idols in our life and what do we put before the Lord? Well, you think about the people tonight that have put something before the service in the house of God. Tonight you honor your pastor and your pastor's wife for years and years of service. They don't ask for it, but it's a good thing to do. The entire month is given over. James Dobson did this years ago and got it started, made October Pastor Appreciation Month. So God says here in verse 8, this is our Father's dwelling place. Yes, God dwells outside. How many times have we preachers heard, well, I can worship the Lord at home watching somebody on TV? You can't get the same effect unless your hands are wet and you touch the TV. You'll get an effect then. But yeah, you'll get it. But this is where God said that His honor is. He didn't say the TV. He didn't say your iPods. He didn't say your phones. He said, this is the place. Now look what He says. I have loved the habitation of thy house. Question to you, children of God, most of you, if not all of you, are saved tonight. Do you love the habitation of thy house? And if you'll note here, it's the place where God's honor dwells. This is where God's honor is shown brightest. It's where, and I've said this in preaching, I think it was back in September when Pastor was somewhere out, somewhere in the country trying to hunt. And of course, I think he'd get the idea he ain't got anything yet. He ought to stay in Virginia, try hunting here. But anyway, that's besides the story. I love the habitation of thy house. Somebody said, well, you love the habitation of the house of God because you get to go and you get to preach. I've been going to God's house for 56 years. I've stood in the pulpit and preached when I could hardly stand. I was so sick. I did not have anybody to be able to call on, but I love going to the house of God. Do you know this is the first day of the week on the Christian calendar, and God has set it aside that we're to worship Him, not worship at Him, but worship to Him. And so that habitation and the place where thy honor dwelleth. Now I want you to look over at Luke chapter 24 and verse 51. We'll come back here if we have the time, but Matthew, Mark, Luke. Luke chapter 24. That comes right after chapter 23. I started to say Luke 25 and see how many of you would turn, but I don't think you're in the mood to be fooled tonight. There's no 25th chapter. Chapter 24 and verse 51, down toward the end of the scripture. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven, and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Do you leave the house of God with great joy? They returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Should we not leave this place, listen, not excited so much as to be a member of Valley View, but excited that you, individuals, are disciples for the Lamb of God. And I've also said this before. If you do not carry, and I know the pastor preaches the Bible, if you don't carry what you hear out those doors, this church will die. God did not call him to preach the Word of God for you to absorb it and keep it all to yourself. Just think of this. What if somebody never told you? What if somebody didn't come to your house or your place of work or worship or whatever? Remember when I was telling you this morning, my new neighbor moved in. He's a 38-year-old American. He married a young Vietnamese woman out of Vietnam. And I had the opportunity yesterday. I was looking at washed-out driveways, mine and his, and of the nearest ones in Greensboro, North Carolina. And I said, where is your God? And me, M-I, that's her name. She said, my God is buried, and then she named the place, wherever it was, I think somewhere. I think it's Bangkok, Thailand, where they buried him. And I said, well, let me introduce you to a God that's very much alive. And before she could object, I began to witness to her about the Lord Jesus. Now, she began to do this number. She started backing up. And you know, when you witness to people, they will back up. Matter of fact, we live in a society where they'll tell you to shut up. They don't want to hear it. But if God gives you the message, then you share it. And so I gently shared with them about the Lord, about the pastor that I sit under now, about the excitement that we have at Clearbrook. And I keep reminding people there that if you don't thank God for what you've got, God may remove it. So when's the last time you said, Lord, I appreciate and I thank you for sending Pastor Boone? We have this habit, and I know, again, because I've ministered for 40-some years, sometimes people will really badmouth you bad. And then they'll tell you they love you. I used to have my song leader stand next to me after church going out. How many knives are sticking in it? When people tell you they love you and they don't love their God, something is wrong. You're supposed to love God and then love your pastor and love your church. Amen? The scripture is very clear on that. So they went out with joy. They went out with excitement. And I'll tell you why there's not a lot of excitement in the church today. Is number one, we don't listen to the Holy Spirit as He speaks. And He's the one that's got to do it. I said this morning, I want you to come to this altar because I asked you to. I asked you on behalf of the Lamb of God, but you come because the Spirit of God deals with your heart. And I also know, sitting out there, and I've sat out there, that Satan will get your mind wandering and moving. Here's what I got to do tomorrow, and I got to kill the kid and fix the cat and all kinds of things. The devil gets running through your mind to get you off track. So we should not leave here excited. If we are His disciples, we should leave this place all excited about what God is doing in our life. Now, back in chapter 27 and verse 4, let's go back again. Chapter 27 of Psalms where we begin, and verse 4. One thing have I desired of the Lord. Is it your desire, if you're able? I can take you to nursing homes and shut-ins, and so can your pastor and his wife, of people that would give anything to be able to come back to the house of God, the fellowship, the preaching, all the things that go on in our churches. But they can't do it anymore because of health. David said, I have desired of the Lord just one thing. That will I seek after. Are you seeking after this? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire at His TV set. Is that what it says? What's it say? In His temple. To inquire in His temple. So the model for the Christian life, to be earnest in action, nearest in communion with God, and progress in divine education. That's why we have Sunday school. Somebody said, I don't need Sunday school. You cannot be taught if you're not here. Whether you like the teacher, man or female, whoever it is, you cannot be taught if you're not here. Now, some of you are self-taught. But God gave us teachers for a reason. I think that the Sunday school should be bubbling over. But it's another service in our churches today that's on the decline. People can only sit still for an hour, if they can sit still that long. So are we progressing in that divine education? May the love of His house rest deep in each of our hearts. I mean deep. I'd rather go to church than anything in the world. And you know, folks, as I say, I've been in church, I don't have to go every Sunday. I mean, I've done my part. Some people tell me that anyway. And I could sit at home at night and relax, watch a little TV, take things easy. I could have said to Pastor, well, I'll come Sunday morning, but that's a long drive. I don't know if I want to come back Sunday night. I say this, if I got a chance to share the Word of God, I'm going to go share the Word of God. So I appreciate the pastor calling me. I may be the nearest nothing next to him of a preacher, but you got me, and you ain't going to get rid of me until I get done. You may get up and walk out, but you're not going to get rid of me. So the love of His house rests deep in our hearts. Who did you invite to church today? Most of you probably knew your pastor was going to be absent, but let's say he's here. Well, he's never all here, but let's say he's here as much as possible. Who did you invite to church? Well, every time I invite somebody to church, they just slap me down. They just say no. Ain't nowhere in the Word of God says you shouldn't keep inviting. Just like that young lady next to me, let me tell you about my Savior. Let me tell you about one who died and He's no longer dead. He's no longer in the grave and that He died for you. You mean He died for Vietnamese people? Do you know the Vietnamese people? Yes, I know them a little bit. I spent some time in your country on an all-expense-paid tour by the United States Army. But yeah, I know some of your people and what they believe and what they worship. And here's the thing. People are so dog set like the Jehovah Witness. You're going to die and go to hell, but you're only going to suffer for 1,000 years, then God's going to annihilate you. That ain't what the book says. I had one come to my door the other day in the Mormons, and the first thing they said is that we'd like to talk to you about our God. And I said, wait a minute. Now, I knew who they were, a little white shirt, little black ties. I knew they were Mormons when they walked on the property. I didn't slam the door in their face. I said, let me ask you something. Tell me what you believe about the deity of Jesus Christ. Well, we believe he was a good man. I said, tell me what you believe about the deity. Well, we believe he's the spiritual brother of the devil. Now, that's a good lie that Satan has managed to get a lot of people to believe. And I said, sirs, I can compromise on a whole lot of things. But I absolutely will not compromise on the deity of Jesus Christ. Either he's all God or he's no God. And in my Bible, in my mind, in my heart, he's all God. We have nothing to discuss. Would you please leave? And they did. But you've got to corner these people. You've got to find out what they believe, where they stand. We talked, the Sunday school teacher talked about blessed assurance this morning. Do we have that blessed assurance? Are you sure if you drop dead right now, you stand in the presence of God? Most of you would say yes. If you stood in the presence of God tonight and God said, here's how you treated my house, here's how you treated my servants, what would you tell God tonight? And by the way, a whole lot of us are here like me. Most of the years that we got are behind us. I got more friends on the other side than I got on this side. I've got 3 beloved brothers, a mother, a father, a grandmother. On down the line I can go that have gone on and stepped into eternal glory with the Lord Jesus Christ. I had a brother, pastored the same church, started it and pastored it 43 years. He died in March of leukemia. And I said, Larry, are you afraid? He said, no, I've run my course, I've finished my fight, I'm ready now to go. In no fear whatsoever of dying, he was ready to meet his God. And here, God reveals himself in the glory of his grace. Proclaimed by his people as Lord of all, we come together tonight to give God glory. You know, we're going to honor the pastor and his wife, and we are going to honor him because I've been invited, so I'm staying to eat. And I'm first in line. I got to bless the food. I'm going to be first. But I already found out, Paul told me, I think I told you this morning, Paul said, you can preach as long as you want. I'm going back and eat when I get hungry, so I got to kind of keep it down on the tongue because he'd be eating all the food. Those who can and those who won't, it's a sad stumbling block tonight to the people of God. You look around tonight, don't answer. But are you disappointed that so-and-so and so-and-so and so-and-so didn't come? You look around on Sunday mornings and if they stay out long enough, they really become a big stumbling block. I don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody. I want to serve the Lord. I want to run, like I said this morning, I want to run out of this life at full speed. I don't want to sit down. I don't want to retire. We call it retirement, but I'm preaching almost as much now as I did all those years, and I enjoy what I'm doing. I'm enjoying. See, without me, well, he could have found another one, but without me, they couldn't have gone to share the word of God. So whatever seed he planted, I get a part of the reward. They couldn't have met friends that they haven't seen for years, but he knew he could call on me. And if I get a call early enough, you got me, whether you want me or not. And I didn't come for the money. You gave me money, and I'm not giving it back to you, but I didn't come for that reason. So I said I usually give away what is given me to the needy, to help folks who need a little helping hand along the way. Don't line up asking for the money after church. We have to wait on the Lord for that. So it's our privilege to honor God in regular public worship. That's what this is. You worship God when you gave. You worship God when you fellowship. You worship God when you open his word. You worship God when you sang. You're going to worship God tonight as you honor your pastor and his wife. You do all of these things, and this is God's house. Valley View does not belong to Pastor Boone. And it doesn't belong to you. Wow, we paid the mortgage. Who think he gave you enough sense to get out of the bed to put the money in the plate on Sunday morning? It's all God. It's all about him. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ and what he'll do. And so if you're discouraged tonight that attendance in many churches seem to be going down, people are not honoring the house of God, just get out and knock on some more door. I'll tell you the best way to grow Valley View, go out and win them one by one. Bring them into the house of God. Let them get discipled by your teachers and your pastor and the family. That's the best way to grow a church. And as I try to encourage Mikey and Julie, churches generally go like this. They go way up, and then they go way down, and they go way up, and then they level off altogether. And if they're not careful giving the Lord the glory that's His, they die. They die. And it's a sad thing tonight that they die. I guess maybe I'm a little nostalgic. Is that the word for it? When I was in my 20s and 30s, Sunday nights, 300-400 people, country church, Wednesday night, full, Sunday school, full. You did things to get people in class. In closing, I had a lady tell me the other day at Clearbrook. She said, "Pastor, I'm thinking about going to see Pastor Brian, and I'm going to give up my Sunday school." I said, "Why?" She said, "I only have one." And I gave her the story of my oldest brother before he went into pastor, and he came back from Texas, from Arlington Bible Baptist Seminary. He came back to her church, and my pastor gave him a class of one junior boy. In 1 year, he had 60 junior boys. How did he do it? He went out and got them one at a time, brought them in, got them under the sound of the gospel, and at least 40 of them were at his funeral march and saying, "Because he cared and invited me to his church that he loved, I can stand here and say, I know the Lord." Do you love the house of the Lord with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul? Heads are bowed. In a moment, I'll give it back to Paul and the pastor. They can do what they see fit. Are you here tonight because you didn't have any place else to go? Are you here tonight out of habit? Or did you come because you love the house of the Lord? I'm able to be there and I'm going to go. I'm going to hear what the pastor has to say from the Word of God. And you have a preacher that doesn't give you a sermon that, but he gives you sermons. You have Sunday school teachers that teach the Word of God. I pray that you're thanking God every day, every moment, for what you have. Because if you don't, when you wake up, it may be gone. Father, I ask tonight that you might put your special power upon Daniel and Sherry. Lord, they've served you almost a quarter of a century at this place. And I believe, Lord, they've served you here because they want to. They have a desire, Lord, to build the work and the kingdom of God through Valley View. I pray that his people, Lord, will be more behind him than they've ever been. And God, I pray that a great soul winning program would arise out of this church, that each member would learn the Word of God and go out and be a witness and invite people, win people to you, bring them in, and Lord, that we might see your kingdom increase through this church. And above all, Lord, that we might love your house with all of our heart. Have your way in the rest of the service, in Jesus' name. Amen.